I thought that's what we were going to talk about when you were talking earlier.
Yeah, I don't know how many years.
But you know I have to talk about it.
Can somebody whistle?
No, I can't whistle. Okay, well, good afternoon. I'd like to thank everybody for coming out today. And we try to dial up the Chamber of Commerce weather for you, so I know it might be a little warm there. But welcome out to kind of understand where we've been. We've kind of been on a long journey, few decades to where we are today on this particular site. And with that, I really want to kind of turn it over to Pamela Stafford, who for years that I've known from my position being a mayor, I've been working with her. This has been a little bit of passion for her and for our students and our community. So kind of want to give an update on where we are and what our plans are. So with that, I'll turn it over to you.
All right. Thank you. Thank you all for coming today. Appreciate your continued interest. When you think about Fort King, you have to realize that this has been a journey since the 1930s when the DAR purchased a piece of property. Raise your hand, DAR girls. Right down the highway because they knew the significance of this land. And the McCall family, of course, Dr. and Kay, lived on this property in the house right up there, and realized also the significance of this piece of land, and saved it until enough money could be raised to actually purchase it. And we are very fortunate to have some of the McCall boys here. Raise your hand, boys. Bob and Bill. The journey of Fort King, as I said, has gone on for a very long time, and everything has kind of stayed the way it is for about the last 5 years, and we're getting cranked back up again. We've got a great board of 15 folks. We are getting incorporated, and our name is the Fort King Heritage Association, and we've got folks in the community who want to help, but do not want to serve on the board. And without the support of the county folks and the city folks, the state, the federal government, we would not even be here today. It definitely has been a collaborative effort over the years. For those of y'all who weren't around when the property was actually purchased, it came from federal money, state money, pennies for parks money with the county, and grant money. And the Seminole Indians are very proud of this piece of land. This is a very important part of their culture as well. And our archaeologist, Gary Ellis, will talk to y'all a little bit about that. When the group of in the community, in the city and county, were trying to purchase this land, the Seminole Nation representative from Oklahoma and the Seminole Tribe representatives from down south came up and showed their support in what was being done here. And we're hoping, although the hierarchy of both tribes has changed since then, we're hoping to be able to bring those folks back into the fold as we progress and move forward with the plans. Julie Johnson has set up some displays over here that maybe later on you might want to kind of look at to see some of the pictures of where we have come from and the significance of this area. Even though we are a community-driven group that is starting back up with this, we need the support of everyone. We still need support of the federal, the state, the county, the city, and just regular people like a lot of us are. So we've got some great, great ideas for moving forward. You've got a copy in your seat of our conceptual plan that the city commissioned 2 years ago with archaeologist Henry Sheldon. And that's the plan that we are going to be pursuing to initially get some things accomplished here on the site. And of course, everything takes money and funding, and we have zero, But we'll be coming up with some fundraising ideas, and if y'all have any ideas, please, please share those with us. I'd like to ask the board members who are here to also raise their hands. Thank y'all for being here as well and taking leadership roles. We're going to be in the process of doing our Articles of Confederation, our bylaws, and Wayne McCall, one of the McCall boys, is helping us with our corporation information. My husband Frank will be doing the 501c3 information. So we're hoping after the first of the year to just really hit the ground running. And if any of y'all are involved in any organizations that have newsletters, we would appreciate it if you just kind of mention this a little bit in your newsletter. We need to get the word out there so people are comfortable when we come to them and ask them for help. We'll be asking for help with grants, with in-kind services, with actual cash. So there will be some ways that everyone can be a part of this next part of the journey. I'm still trying to kill time because our fearless leader's not here. Does anybody have any questions? We're going to take a tour of the site, and maybe we'll just kind of move that up on the agenda just a little bit. As I said, this has come a long ways, and in your spare time, I would appreciate if you would look at this and see what the board is considering trying to accomplish. Of course, nothing can be accomplished without the city and the county being involved and the DAR gals. So keep that in mind also as you look at the plan. People have said in the community that they don't really understand why all this federal, state, county, city money was used on this land, and yet they can't come in and walk around and do what they want to do. And of course, that's because it is a very sensitive site, because there are still things underground. What's left that the McCall boys haven't dug up through the years with the hurricane and one thing or another. So it is a sensitive area, so we don't want people just walking in here and wandering around. A question, thank you.
Are you planning on doing any excavation as far as relics and whatever?
We haven't gotten that far. The area has gone through two, three different archaeological studies. First of all, with the National Parks folks, and then with conceptual plan. So we know what was where originally, and the areas that were sensitive and actually had property on them, that will be all worked around.
Well, I'm sure this would be in the future, but are you planning on building like a reconstruction of Fort King at some time? In the future, I understand.
Well, that's something that's been discussed at our last board meeting. It's kind of a catch-22, and John Conkus, who is Cliff's aide here in Ocala, could probably talk about it better than I, but he called just a little while ago, and he's stuck at the office with the only person there, so he's not able to come. However, when the National Parks folks came down here, and of course our community was all excited about being a national park, one of the things that they were adamant about was that it had to be a static park. It had to just be sort of like it is, with walkways and displays, but no recreation of anything. And the reason they said that was because it was a policy that something could not be rebuilt on a historic site unless you had the original plan. Well, we have no original plans from 1827.
I wonder why.
Conceptual drawings. We know where posts and stockades were under the ground through the archaeological studies. And back then, forts were kind of generic. You know, if you built one, the next one was built pretty much the same way. It was kind of like a footprint. But anyway, they would not allow us to rebuild. going through these last several years, people in the community have said, gosh, it would be great if we had a fort there. You know, we could go and see it like at St. Augustine, and the kids could learn how, you know, how life was and actually see where the Indians were and the soldiers. So our board last month actually kind of talked about that. We have not come to a recommendation yet, because again, that takes money. And but it is something that we're considering. John Conkus did some research and found out that there is a national park up north where they rebuilt, and they did not have the original plans either. And it is a national park. So it could be, there could be some waivers out there or something, but I think the group needs to proceed not expecting that. If it was a national park, that would be great, because that means funding, you know, is poured into this. So there is no funding right now. National Parks is having financial difficulties like everybody else is. And the money that they do have, they're using to take care of problems at the parks. Maintenance, rebuild walkways, things that are deteriorating and need work. So there's no money to funnel into here and do anything brand new. However, the site is protected. It has its National Historic Landmark status, which means this piece of land in the world of history is just as important as Arlington Cemetery. Now, that blows my mind.
Yeah. In different ways, though.
Different way, but it has that protection, and that protection is there only because of the belief in this site by the McCall family. It could have very easily been sold for condos and subdivision and who knows what, because it's a gorgeous piece of property, as you'll see. But they persevered, and when Dr. McCall passed away, Kay persevered, and Bill got involved in trying to help put everybody together back on the same page, and so it is here forever, and will be here when we're gone. So that's pretty exciting. I think probably Gary got held up, and I don't take my cell phone with me. It's in the car, so I'm sure he's tried to call me. So if there are no more questions, we will go ahead and do the tour. And feel free to ask questions as we go along. And those that want to take the limos, feel free to do that. And the rest of us will just kind of trot along behind. Any questions? Okay. Let's go. Where are your drivers? Drivers, start your engine.
Yeah. How you doing?
Let's take the limo.
Indians were not at war with America, the United States, and lived together in a harmonious situation. They lived outside the actual fort wall and did trade within the fort, and just everybody got along beautifully. And later on, of course, things changed. This is the single most important site in the Second Seminole War. There was one other site that was as important, but it's now a shopping center, and it's been paved over. So this is the only remaining site that's still pristine. Where's the other one? I don't remember.
Well, there's Fort Brooke down in Tampa. There's a parking garage sitting on.
Thank you. There you go. See, we need to get you on the board. So this is important for that reason, most definitely. A lot of people think that when Osceola was here, that he was wonderful and, you know, this tremendous leader. You saw the pictures up there of how he looked. But he was just a regular guy. He was just a regular...
He really wasn't a chief, though, either.
No, he was just a regular Indian person, and because he felt so passionately about his people and about how they were being treated, he kind of rose in the ranks of the group that was here. But you're exactly right. He was never chief. And a lot of times he is referred to as Chief Osceola, but he was not a chief. But he was very much a leader. And
Hooligan.
I guess that's it at this point. And all of this property, there's 30-some-odd acres in here. All of this property is part of that protected area. And if you look at the conceptual plan that you have, it kind of shows you what we're going to try to do here with the support, of course, of the county and the city and the DAR. Hopefully, ultimately, there will be some federal money that we could do some matching grants with. But what we want to do is open this up and instead of the driveway that's currently there, making a driveway farther down over on the other highway over there, so you won't be accessing the property from Fort King. There'll be a parking lot over there, and then we will have static walkways coming through, so you can see what was here, what happened here. You know, it'll be things that you'll read about. If the site ever gets built, you know, that would be fantastic, but we'll just have to kind of wait and see on that. Okay, let's keep on. And what did he say, Kathy?
He remembers it's on the 12th. He just didn't remember that today was the 12th.
Oh. So, you know, he's old like the rest of us. So, so I am sorry that you didn't have the honor of hearing his passion and being able to answer archaeological questions for you. But anyway, what we had hoped to accomplish today was accomplished. And that was get y'all here, let you buy into what's going to be happening at some point, and go out and spread the word of Fort King. Goodbye.
We're not doing it.
We're
done.
We're still going to win.
We're not doing it.
We're not doing it.
You don't have to go home, but you got to get out of here.
You go into town and you say something about Fort King, and people have this pregnant pause look like, what are you talking about?
Exactly.
It really needs to be more inspired in the newspapers or...
Well, the paper has helped us through time.
I know they have,
time.
But it's just like people go, you mean 14th Street? No, yeah. No. You know, the actual 14th, and they like...
I think
look on their face like, what are you talking about?
There might be an editorial about it tomorrow.
I hope so.
But you're right. When you say Fort King, what first comes to your mind? A fort.
A fort, right?
Yeah. So I can see people that maybe aren't from here or haven't read, you know,
I think the people that are not from here are more savvy than the ones that live here.
Oh, okay.
Excuse me, I'm sorry.
Well,
as a transplant, I can say that.
When the time comes, we'll need your help to get that word out there.
I'm trying.
Thank y'all very much, and we'll be in touch. We'll
thank
be in
you.
Touch.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
But so do you want to
join?
Pam.